with the first pick.
We are back with another episode of the Depth on Draft podcast, week two of doing two episodes a week. Again, we hit on edge rushers, our edge ranking earlier this week, and now we are back to give a little combine preview, a little combine primer. Again, next week in Indianapolis, the NFL scouting combine is going down. Again, this is where we're going to hear a lot of other things. You know, there's a lot of murmuring going around in Indianapolis, GMs, agents, all kind of spilling some beans, getting to it, talking some business as free agency and the new league year is about to start as well. So the combine is a really good opportunity, not only to learn about prospects, but to kind of pick up some information league-wide as well. Again, Devin and I will both be there. Again, it's a good time to bring Devin in. Devin, welcome back. How are you?
Good, man. Got my combine stuff fully booked and excited. Got the credentials as well. I know you got yours as well, too. Mm-hmm. So excited, man. It's going to be a very busy week, obviously. Going to be a lot of talk on, obviously, prospects, but even the happenings going around the NFL and potential contract extensions and franchise tags. So it's going to be a really good week to just get a lot of information about the NFL in general, because there'll be a lot of discussions. But excited, because our edge rankings were kind of a nice primer for the combine talk. Good place to kind of take a little pause on our positional rankings, because as we get ready for 319 prospects to be down at the combine, so it should be a good one, man.
Yeah, I'm very pumped. I'm very pumped. Again, this is my first year going as credentials with credentials. I went as a spectator in 2019, and I had a blast. Like, again, I said on the last pod, that was like really my entry into like, oh, this is fun. I kind of want to do this. And so that's kind of what I've been doing since 2019. But again, this is my first year going as credentialed. I'm excited to link up, Devin. We'll get to spend some quality time together, I'm sure. Shaking and moving throughout the week in Indy. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Networking with some other guys that I've had the privilege of just linking up and networking with over Twitter over the past 3 years, but now I get the opportunity to meet them face to face and have the opportunity to really link up and actually have conversation and dinner and drinks. It's going to be an exciting time. So, but Devin, let's dive in, man. We got a lot to go over. Again, we're going to talk about some guys, who maybe need to interview well. Again, a big portion of the combine is medicals and interviews. Like, that might be more important than the testing numbers, because on tape, we can see a lot of these guys. Like, I could tell you Lucas Van Ness is explosive. I can tell you Kelee Ringo is a freak athlete. I can tell you Christian Gonzalez is a freak athlete. Like, yeah, there are some guys that'll be really nice to get those numbers verified on. And there will be some guys that's like, I really want to see, like, are you athletic? Like, why are you getting hype? But there are, again, a lot of guys that we know, like, this guy's going to test well. But those interviews with teams, those medicals for guys like Brian Brzee, some other guy, every year it comes back like, oh, this guy's got a heart condition. Like that happens every year. So those are the things that are more pressing in Indianapolis. And so those are some of the things we're going to talk about as well. But we also want to talk about guys that, like, listen, we know these guys might not test well, and we're gonna pound the table for them anyway, because their instincts and their tape is good. So we got a lot to go over, Devin. Where do you want to start, man? I spilled a lot right there. Where do you want to start here?
Yeah, man. Well, we start the guys to pound the table for, because look, I want to say there's a good bit of players that we already know that are probably going to test well and possible money makers, but kind of want to start on the flip side. And for me, one of those guys is Kobe Wooden from Auburn. And to me, like, he's kind of a guy that you look at his measurements and nothing really wows you about it. So to me, I think the measurements might hurt him a little bit, because he's not really a freak athlete. He's not really built, I would say, super well for the NFL game. But I mean, when you turn on his tape, he's disruptive, violent hands, able to split gaps, able to hold down his running lanes. So, like, he's a player for me that I think he's probably not going to wow you at all, really, athletically testing-wise. Like, he's just one of those guys, I think. I had him kind of as a rotational guy anyway, just based off the evaluation, but I think that's kind of going to confirm that. But I think he's a really good football player, and I think he's a guy you want on your team. believe he was one of the captains on that Auburn defense as well. So, you could tell he's kind of a high character guy, and I think he's gonna really impress some teams with the interviews, and they're really gonna like his game, like what he brings to the table. Although he may not be a, first 2 day pick, maybe a later day three pick, I certainly think he has good enough tape to be a contributor in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and watch another game of Wooden because you're really high on him and I'm pretty low on him. So I need to. I'm gonna go back and watch another game, probably after Indy because next week's gonna be a really busy week. But because you speak really highly of Wooden and that, I think that's a player we have a pretty wide discrepancy on. So I'll give it another shot. For me, I'm gonna start with at Florida State. I'm gonna start with safety Jamie Robinson. Like. We know Jamie Robinson's not big. We know he has sub 30 inch arms. We know this. And we know, like, on tape, I think he speed transitions well. I think his hips are pretty fluid, but, like, I don't think he's all that explosive. I don't think his long speed is impressive. Like, I know that Jamie Robinson's probably going to be an average athlete next week. Like, I know he's going to test. His RAS is probably going to be in the sevens, maybe the low eights if we're lucky. Like, I kind of know where we're sitting with Jamie Robinson, but I don't care. Like, he's an instinctual player who can play at three levels of the field. He can play in the box. He can play over the top. He can play in the slot. And I think he does it all pretty darn well. So Robinson's a guy I'm like, I know these things. I know he's not going to be an extraordinary athlete, and I want that guy on my football team. Like, he's all bark, all bite. Like, give him to me. So, I think Jamie's right there as well. And just going to my number two guy, like, why not? It's another secondary player. I'm going to stick with Deonte Banks from Maryland. I think Deonte Banks is a guy who could surprise. He's not overly light-footed on tape. I think his press tech is still fine, but he's not overly light-footed. I think he does also have some nice speed transitions on tape. But he's not a guy who wows you with his twitch on tape. He wows you with his refinement. He wows you with his hands, his ability to get into receivers and kind of bully them. So again, Banks is a guy who could surprise me and say, like, oh yeah, man, that does it for me. But he again, he's my CB3 that we went over in our corners episode. So, like, I already think this guy is really good. Testing numbers would be icing on the cake, but I don't expect wowing testing numbers. But again, if they're there, like, yeah, okay, solid. Verify that for me that this guy's a really freaking good football player.
Yeah, we know defensive backs are always put under one of the biggest microscopes when it comes to testing. Obviously, guys that don't test off the charts, people always have questions about and may go back to the tape. But we know Banks's tape is really good, so there shouldn't be too much questioning if he doesn't blow away the doors on testing. Considering some of the guys that are going to be in his defensive back category that may blow the doors off, that we'll talk a little bit later about. Like transitioning for kind of my next guy, Steve Avila, the guard from TCU, I think is another guy that isn't going to athletically wow you, but once again, another guy with really solid tape. Does really good things at the guard position. Very technically refined, able to handle some of the power and speed rushes he gets in the interior. Not a guy that's going to be playing, ton of out of frame, ton out of the box. I don't think you expect him to be an outside zone type of guard anyway. And you want him more, like in a power scheme and more so in the box. But I think he's a player that's probably not going to test super well. I think he's probably going to have average arm length, like all the things that, people, get a little bit questioning about when in terms of athleticism and whatnot. And some of the guards and centers we've seen in recent drafts, people kind of have higher expectations for. But I think he can, he's going to interview really well. Seems like a very cerebral guy, very smart player. And I think he's going to really do some nice things. While not, it may not be athletically, I think he's still going to impress some teams with how he interviews, how he goes through some of the drills. But I just think athletically, you're getting a guy that's not going to be a high, athletic upside ceiling type of player, but more so the film is really good, a really cerebral player, and understands his limitations too.
Yeah, we're again, next episode is we're not next episode, but we're getting to interior offensive line ranking soon. So I'm working through it too. Avila's a guy I haven't hit yet. I'm excited to break his tape down because again, he had a really strong Senior Bowl, man. That his base is real sturdy, real strong. So I'm excited to get to Avila. My last one, and he might be the most nitpicked player in this class. Because again, he played in two games this year, tried to play in three games this year and left every single one of them early. Sat out the semifinals game against Georgia. But ultra productive player last year in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Again, we know he's not a burner. Like he's probably gonna run the 4.5s. Like, okay. He's probably not gonna jump super well. Okay. Like, we know this guy has a PhD in playing wide receiver. Like we know this guy is one of the best route runners in the class. We know this guy knows how to separate, even if he doesn't have blazing speed. Even if he's not the most physical, we know this guy's slippery after the catch, even if he's not going to break ankles in the open field, even if he's not going to run through defenders. Like Jaxon Smith-Njigba is who he is. Like, and that's okay. And in a wide receiver class where it's really volatile. I'm gonna be okay with taking the guy with the highest floor, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba by far has the highest floor in this class, at the wide receiver position. So I don't care that he's gonna run a 4.5. CeeDee Lamb, again, in different body types, but like AJ Brown, AJ Brown's a little thicker, a little stronger after the catch, a little stronger through the catch point. Like he ran a 4.49, like that's basically a 4.5. A lot of these bigger body guys, Cooper Kupp ran a 4.4. Fives, I think maybe in 4.6s. Like, I don't care. He's going to find a role and he's going to be productive at the NFL level. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, we know what's gonna happen, man. Jalin Hyatt's gonna run a 4.3. Couple other
He might run a
dudes
four
are,
two. Yeah.
yeah, a couple other dudes are gonna run 4.3, sub 4.4, and everyone's gonna be like, look, see, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is not better than these guys. It happens every year. We get into this conversation, especially around receivers and DBs, where if a guy doesn't run, sub 4.4, there's a lot of questions about. Does he have great long speed? Is he going to last in NFL? All these things. But with Smith and Jigba, we've talked about on this podcast, both of our wide receiver ones, there it's just so much he offers before the catch point. Then obviously being able to manipulate throwing windows and be able to catch the ball in different situations and what he was able to do alongside two stars. Or rising stars in the NFL. I think it speaks for itself, but I know we're gonna have the conversation. Let's see. I think they go Saturday. I think the receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends go Saturday. So Sunday through whenever the draft, or next Sunday through whenever the draft is, we're gonna have this talk ad nauseam. But Smith and Jigba, he's a good player, man. I think it should just come down to that, and I think he's going to interview well and. Teams are going to really like him, and everything the consensus around the draft Twitter, I could see them, kind of wondering, is he going to be a high ceiling guy or high floor? But we'll see, man. I'm excited to see what he puts on, numbers wise, and not excited around the discourse around it, obviously.
I just hope his groin is healthy enough to actually test. He's been battling that thing all year, and groin injuries are pesky. So, again, he hasn't played football in a long time, so I would hope that would be the case. But I guess that's not even a certified thing that he's even going to test. But again, I hope so. Who do you think are some players, Devin, that could make a lot of money this weekend? Like, oh, this guy's already got some hype, but if he goes out and he puts on, like he's gonna make himself a lot of money. Who would you say are like three players, would you say?
Yeah, so one guy that we've talked about a lot off the air and just in general, even we brought him up in the Edge discussion, that's Zach Harrison from Ohio State. Everything is pointing towards he's going to test like a freak. You told me that story about him running in the rain with tennis shoes, track wise and running a crazy time. So I think he's got some incredible arm length already. So he's probably going to be one of the winners in that department just based off of size and arm length and whatnot. But then when he tests athletically, I think he's going to really wow some people. And
His
he
arms are
looks like it.
verified. Sorry to interrupt. His arms are verified through NFS over the summer at 35 and three quarters inches.
Yeah,
Nearly
that's
36 inch
crazy.
arms.
Yep, that's insane. So I
These are
already
Brian's
know that's,
buddy.
yeah, he's gonna have people buzzing. And they the beautiful thing about it is defensive line and linebackers go on the first day. So there's gonna be buzzing, just with the arm length and whatnot. But I think he's gonna test really well too. And you can tell on the tape that, he's built really well for the NFL game. And I'm very excited to see. I believe he was on Bruce Feldman's freaks list as well. So I think he's really going to wow some people once the combine starts. And luckily we get to see him as one of the first players to test on next Thursday.
Yeah. Again, that story in high school. Again, he's from Columbus, and he went to Ohio State. And I live in Columbus, but I mean, it's a pretty common story otherwise. But I went to Olentangy Orange High School. They didn't make track spikes in his foot size, and so he ran the 100-meter dash in the rain, in tennis shoes, under 11 seconds. Like he can fly vertically. So in a straight line. Again, don't do the three cone, Zach. Don't do it. It's a scam, but. His jumps and his run and his 40 is going to be absurd. Another guy that we're going to stick with Ohio State here, but that we both like his tape. We both love his tape. Who I again at his size, at his foot speed, the one day he played at the Senior Bowl, if he goes out and even tests as an average athlete, if he just runs well at his size, DeJuan Jones is going first round, man. Like, I don't see any way that some team's not going to take a guy who's 6'9" with the longest wingspan in Senior Bowl history, with solid tape and good foot speed at 375 pounds, I think he weighed in at Mobile. Like, if that guy runs even a good time in the 40, somebody is taking him top 31. Again, Dolphins don't have a pick, top 31. Like, that's going to happen. I don't see how that doesn't happen.
Yeah, DeJuan Jones, man. Whew. That could be a guy that just, I know Jordan Davis, almost broke Twitter last year with what he did, but DeJuan Jones moving at that size, and I mean I don't even know what to expect. If he gets like 5'1" maybe or something like that, just will be insanity. I don't expect him. I hope he doesn't run the three cone or does any of those agilities, but I think he's going to also test well, probably not, I wouldn't say test well, but I think the bench press, he's going to do some good things on that as well. Very strong dude, very obviously on this tape too. So what offensive lineman, obviously people look at the 40 time and then how much did they bench. And then his footwork, it's been a point of emphasis for him during the offseason. He's worked a lot on his footwork and his foot speed. So I think, going through some of the offensive line on-field drills, I think it's going to be important for him. I think he's going to really wow some teams too, just with how nimble his feet is.
Yeah, man. Again, right now he's my OT5. With him and Anton Harrison, I really like both those guys, and I think they're both pretty underrated in this class. Because I see some other names above them in people's rankings, like I don't know about that, but I can't. I think I would swap him and Anton if he comes out and he tests even average. Like he's built in a lab. Like I,
Yeah.
it's just a dude. Like it's a fridge. Like with light feet, like I don't get it. And then again, like Kelee Ringo, everybody knows Kelee Ringo is going to be a freak. Like he might have the best combine of anybody. Like we know that's going to happen, and he needs it as well. He needs to just come out and do it because his tape is a little volatile. He's a guy who's seen his stock kind of dip over the past last month or two of the college football season. Especially Marvin Harrison did some things to him that are like, oh buddy. So he needs to go out and do what everybody knows he's gonna do, but just to have those verified is gonna boost his stock. And again, I think he's still gonna go first round, especially if he goes out and puts up a perfect RAS, which I think he's looking at. Feldman's freak list and some of the numbers that he's supposed to go out and do, like my goodness, if he does that, yeah, he's gonna go first round still. But I want to kind of transition now, Devin, to maybe some guys who have some question marks about their athleticism, who could answer some questions. And we could do it, we could do guys with questionable measurables or questionable tape. And it's like, man, why are you getting talked about this higher? Or like, I understand why you're getting talked about a little bit lower, and you can answer some questions this week in Indy. And I think the first person I want to start with, who is ranked really high by a lot of people, and obviously the league really likes him because credible people have him in, still the top 40 of mock drafts of top 100 rankings. That's Siaki Ika, man. We've talked a lot about Ika. Neither of us had him as a top five defensive tackle in this class in our defensive tackle ranking. We both said like, oh, when teams come out and spread an 11 personnel, he's off the field a lot. As a pass rusher in 2022, we thought his game declined. So right now he looks like a two down player at the NFL level. Again, his arms aren't going to be long, so I think he could bench press really well. Like, again, we're talking about a big dude with short arms that dude could rep out. But I don't see a lot of explosiveness. And apparently he's supposed to test well, but I don't see it on tape. And so having that backed up on the track at Lucas Oil, like, yeah, that could help him a little bit, and it can make me feel a little bit better about him. But like, Ika's a guy that I really need to see something from, because like, I just don't align with consensus on him.
Yeah, Ika has been one of those guys that, it happens every year. It seems like everyone really likes him, but the tape just doesn't match, man. Like, sure, if you're looking at Ika 2021 and assuming that he's going to get back to that form, I could see that. But I mean, based on pure 2022 film and just how ineffective he was at times, like you forgot he was on the field sometimes. Like, there, he still had his plays. He still made some plays, in the interior and influencing and pushing the pocket, but it just was nowhere near as consistent in 2022 as it was in 2021. So I think he's really going to have to, answer some questions too, obviously, about why did his, disruptiveness go down from 20 in 2022 compared to 2021, and then just, where exactly does he fit? Is he going to be just a two down player? Does the testing show he can maybe be a three down player? Because I mean, like, everything was just a second slow, when you were watching him this year, like disengaging from blocks, like getting off blocks and passing situations. So I'm very interested to see how he tests and what exactly does he test in? What does he do? Is he going to run the 40? Is he going to do some of the athletic testing? Obviously, he's probably going to do on-field drills for sure, but there's a lot of question marks around him. I think he has to answer at least half of those questions to me, and we'll see just what happens. And maybe the league is assuming that, he's going to get back to that 21 form or something that they already know, or maybe he's playing with a nagging injury. So we could see, man. We'll definitely see with him. I think he's one of the ones, and that's a good segue to another guy that has really good tape, everyone really likes, but has question marks about his arm length, and that's Pierre Skoronski from Northwestern. And he's just a there's nothing on the tape that will lead you to believe that, he's a guy that playing with short arm length, but then there's those times where it's there. There are guys with longer arms that are able to get their hands on him quicker, but he's just so savvy, so cerebral, and the ability to counter and whatnot. So I think athletic testing will be huge for him, too, as well, just to see what that baseline is. Can he stick out at tackle? Because obviously the arm length concerns are there, and they're not going to go away. But if he tests well athletically, maybe he quells those concerns a little bit. But I think he's going to really impress teams with the way he can interview, just how smart he is. And just how good of a football player he is. I think we shouldn't overthink it too much, but also you want to see the athletic testing to back it up with Skoronski.
Right. And again, I think the first thing that comes to a lot of people's minds is Rashawn Slater, because he was a left tackle at Northwestern with similar concerns about arm length and size. Rashawn was a great, I think, a good deal more athletic and probably even has longer arms than Skronsky's going to come in with. But Skronsky's a good freaking football player. And that sometimes that's what it comes down to. Like, he is refined, he is savvy, he is smart, and he has a track record of success at left tackle. And so, like, I think you let that play out. And then if it, like, sure, keep him in a guard if it doesn't work at left tackle, but he's a guy that you stick at tackle until he proves that he can't do it otherwise. So, But who knows, a team who needs a guard might take him too, because he's the best player that, like in the trenches in the class. So like in the offensive trenches. So or I mean I we I have Paris Johnson's higher, but like he's a good football player is what basically we're saying. Another guy with measurement concerns, that's a good way to go is, and it's a guy who, again, I have as I think defensive tackle 7. So he's not a top 5 defensive tackle for me, but I know some people who have him defensive tackle 2, who think he's the second best defensive tackle. Mel Kiper mocked him 10th overall, and that's Kalijah Kansi, who is listed at 6 foot and 280, I think. 6'1", 280, but like, I mean, he's clearly not that big on tape. He's clearly not that big, and he gets washed in the run game quite a bit. And so I'm interested to see what his measurables are. I can't imagine his arms, if they're 32 inches or are not much over that. I struggle to think they're 32 inches. I'm sure he's eaten a lot of peanut butter sandwiches to get up to at least 280 for the combine. But like, we'll see what that arm length comes in, what those measurables come in. His tape is fun, man. I get it. He's a good college football player. Like he's slippery. He's got nice hands. He's a good pass rusher, but like he can't anchor a double. He gets washed in the run game. Like it's on his tape. And so like he's a guy when he goes against the Zach Bartons, the Joel Bitonios, the Wyatt Tellers, the Quentin Nelsons, the good interior offensive lineman of the NFL, like how's that going to hold up? And I went back and I looked at the interior offensive lineman that he's faced this year, like in his college career. There's not really a notable one outside of Machine Richards from North Carolina. And like, he's not a relatively esteemed prospect this year. So like, there's a pretty big talent disparity about the guys that he was facing. Again, people clip a guy like one of his clips from Northwest from, I'm sorry, from against Rhode Island. Like, okay, that's great. That's a really nice rep. It looks awesome. But like, I don't think he faced an NFL guard all season. So I struggle with Kalijah Kansi. Again, he can quell some of those fears if his arms, you know, do come in bigger than I thought, or you know, if he does have to bulk up and he still tests well, clearly above what he is used to playing at, then yeah, sure. And again, if the value's there, like I think he's a top 100 player, but like I'm not taking this guy top 75, top 50. Like I think that's crazy. But some people really love him. So I'm interested what you think on Kansi, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of where you are. You know, he was a guy that was outside of obviously our both of our top fives at defensive tackle. I just had look, I think he certainly has pass rush upside and it's clearly shown that. But to me, like, what more can you offer? You know what I'm saying? Like, there it's gonna be good to have that pass rushing upside and ability to get after the passer, but on running downs, are you going to be able to anchor your gaps? Are you going to be able to shoot through gaps and make plays? Are you going to be able to hold off double teams? And a lot of those questions, I still had questions about after the tape. So for him, I think athletic testing obviously is going to be huge, but also what weight does he come in? You know, how big is he? Just how big is he? Because I think that's got to be a big point of contention. Like, of course, he's cracking a lot of people's top fives, but I don't. I just struggle seeing where exactly he's going to play and how effective he's going to be at the NFL level. So I think he's going to have a lot of questions about that. Another guy on the defensive side of the ball that I want to talk about is Isaiah Land, the Florida A&M former edge rusher. Now he's possibly working at linebacker. And to me, it's not much more athletically, but I just want to see. How quickly does he pick up the line, like pick up the game as a linebacker? Because obviously towards the end of Senior Bowl week, he was playing more in the box as versus coming off the edge. And to me, I think that's probably where he's going to be at the NFL level, probably more so in the box, a bit of a light frame. So I think for him, testing is almost certainly going to be huge. And how well does he move in those drills, like the linebacker drops, the ability to change direction. So I think with Isaiah Land, like a lot of people really liked him coming out of Senior Bowl week and what he was able to do at multiple positions. But now we're getting close to the NFL. You gotta kind of figure out what's the path going to be for him. So I think for him, it was huge, obviously getting invited to the combine and being there, as an HBCU player. So I'm excited for him to get down there, but I want to see How does he handle like some of the interviews, in a position that he played a couple days in versus some of the other linebackers there that, like you see at the Marvin Overshown, I think he probably needs a good week as well. So you look at him potentially as a off-ball linebacker within Isaiah Land. So I think for him is figuring out how well can he potentially do this position, and if it's going to be a position he could stick with at the NFL level too.
Yeah, Land is an interesting one. I thought he did some pretty nice things as a pass rusher in Mobile, but again, he's really have to either bulk up or move to off ball. I guess he could play him and Nick Erbig are kind of in that same role. They could probably play Sam on base downs and transition into situational pass rusher on obvious passing situations. But Land will be an interesting one to watch for sure. And then kind of sticking with linebacker, and this will be the last one that we talk about of a guy who like, just show me something. I don't know if there's been a player who's seen a bigger drop in their draft stock from preseason in the summer to now than Noah Sewell, out of Oregon. Again, people had a first round grade on this guy, LB1 coming into the season, and his tape in 2022 is not indicative of a playmaker. He looks slow, stiff, not very nuanced in coverage. And so, while some of that tape, like testing numbers won't change that tape, he can kind of show like, no, I am more explosive. And again, Dan Lanning came in, so it's a different defensive system, a different defensive coach. So, I mean, there's some of that to take into consideration. But I think Sewell at least needs to show a little bit in his workouts that like, no, I actually do have a little bit of juice, because it's really not there on his tape. But I would say that's probably the last one worth talking about. Transition now, again, we talked about at the beginning, interviews and medicals are some of the bigger part of the combine than these testing numbers. So we want to talk a little bit about interviews, and a few players that have a lot to gain. And I want to start with quarterback Anthony Richardson. Again, every quarterback is going to be put under the microscope by these teams who are going to be picking at the top because they have a big decision to make. The quarterback they choose, like somebody's probably going to trade up to number one. That's a lot of assets to invest in one guy, a lot of a future to invest in one guy. So they want to know everything about these guys. So every quarterback is going to be under the microscope for sure. But I would say Anthony Richardson, the most, again, his production wasn't exceptional at Florida. Like it is what it is. But looking at his tape, his upper body mechanics are smooth, are loose, are fluid. Like that dude can sling the football. His throwing motion, his sequencing is unbelievably fluid. His lower half needs work. Like we know that. And he's young. He's young. Like he was a redshirt sophomore. And so I think I doubt Richardson does anything testing wise. He might throw. That dude's not going to step foot on the track, or he'll get those same kind of questions that Lamar Jackson got, like, oh, maybe this guy's at the wide receiver, this guy's a tight end. He's not gonna do that, which I think is a wise idea on his part, but I think he'd probably run the 4.4s if he did. But teams are gonna really want to pick his brain. Like, why are there some lapses on tape? Like, again, I think his pocket maneuver is real nice. Like, I think he's got some very nice tape, but there's also some stuff on tape that's like, ooh, what are you thinking there? So I think he has a lot to gain from interviews this week, next week.
Yeah, he's a player that is going to be very highly debated even up until the draft. And maybe he convinces a team that you should move up to number one for me, So I'm very intrigued to see not only him throw or him potentially throw or see how he interviews, but just if any of these top quarterbacks throw or any of them participate in any of the on-field activities as well. But Richardson for sure is a good name to bring up, and a player that's very polarizing already, and probably will be more so after the combine, especially after some teams get to have some one-on-one time with him. I'll stay on the offensive side of the ball, but a guy I expect to test well, but certainly needs to answer some questions about some off-field stuff, and that's Wanya Morris from Oklahoma. Former five-star, obviously started his career at Tennessee, played left tackle his first couple years, transferred to Oklahoma, suspended a couple times, ended up playing right tackle and played pretty well his last season at Oklahoma. But you got to figure out, some of the off-field things with him. But just from being able to talk to him personally and getting to know him a little bit and know his story a little bit, I think he will come out a lot better than going in, but certainly some questions to be answered for him. But I think he's going to test well athletically. And he, I mean, he looks really, really athletic on tape already. So I think you're getting a guy that clearly had some left tackle athleticism coming into college, but just stuck on the right side because of his teammate Anton Harrison, who could be going first round, and potentially we could have two or both of Oklahoma's tackles, maybe go off the board in the top 100. So we'll see what happens with Morris, but I certainly expect him to answer the questions around him, especially off the field, next week at Indy.
Yeah, I currently have a fourth round grade on Wanye. I like his movement skills a ton. I think his hands and his anchor a little bit on the soft side, but there's a lot to like about his game. But again, there's a lot of questions like that need answered. Like there's video of him punching a fan that stormed the field when Oklahoma got upset last year. Like that happened. Like things like that happen. He's been suspended at Oklahoma. Like there are question marks with this guy. So he's a really good one, but again, he had a really good week in Mobile. And he's again the athleticism is there. So that's such a good one. The last one that I think is worth hitting on is LSU wide receiver Kayshon Boutte. He initially said he was gonna go back to school for another year. Flipped last second and said, actually, I'm gonna declare. There's been a lot of things that have floated around about why that was. There are obviously some concerns with Kayshon Boutte, some maturity concerns. He came in again into this year as I know some people had him as wide receiver one coming into the season. I still think he's a good player. I still think he's a really good player. I do think his injury might have knocked out some juice from him, but again, testing numbers, we could see if that juice is back now that he's been away from football for a little bit and had some time to recover. But teams are gonna have some big questions for this guy in interviews. Again, he could still go day two. But like Boutte is one of those players that's either gonna be out of the league in 5 years or he's gonna be a pro, like a perennial pro bowler. Like that's just the kind of guy he is. And teams are gonna wanna know if they're investing a draft asset in him, like, and if it's a day two one, a pretty high one, like that they're gonna get a guy who is gonna take full advantage of that opportunity. I
Yeah,
think
and
it's probably the best
he's,
way to say it. Yeah.
yeah, he, it's a tough subject. It's like you know some of the rumors flowing around with him, but there's nothing confirmed. So teams are gonna ask him point blank, what happened to LSU? Like even the later season concerns, you have to wonder about earlier in the season. Obviously, the Florida State game, a lot of people were questioning, does he want to be out there? His effort there. Even the first couple of weeks of the season, they obviously picked it up. Towards the tail end of the season, but opting out of the bowl game, deciding to come back, leaving, or then deciding to leave and go to the NFL draft. That there is going to be, I think, are some of the big points to hit on. Without even some of the other things floating around. So I think with Boutte, you certainly gonna have to answer those. A couple other guys I just want to quickly touch on. Zach Evans is another guy I want to see how he interviews. Obviously left TCU for Ole Miss. Then Ole Miss this year, he kind of got lost in the shuffle down the stretch. He wasn't a guy, he wasn't the main guy for Ole Miss. Obviously Judkins was he's a stud and probably going to be a future stud in the NFL, but Evans kind of really waned off, and a lot of people are all over the place with his stock. So I want to see how he interviews, because certainly teams are going to question why wasn't he on the field more at Ole Miss, even though he was alongside a really good freshman running back. But I mean, he's in the draft, so some questions to answer there for sure. So he's another guy for me that I think probably needs to answer some questions. Then Eli Ricks from Alabama, another guy that left LSU, was expected to be one of the next great corners, and really just inconsistent tape this year. Because I remember we were discussing Ricks, before we watched the defensive back episodes. You really liked his first couple games, and then kind of the last couple weren't as good. So I think with him, consistency wise, like where was that consistency? And just feel like it, you know, you got midway through the season, you're like, wait a minute, like Eli Ricks plays for Alabama. Why are we hearing this dude's name? You know, like you talk about Jordan Battle and Brian Branch and some of the other defensive players, obviously Will Anderson. But Eli Ricks is on that defense, and you're not hearing anything about it. You're hearing more about Kool-Aid McKinstry than Eli Ricks. So I think he's going to have to answer some questions too.
Yeah, I think so too. Again, I do like Rick's tape, man. I think he's like, I have a third rounder on him, a third round grade on him, which like that's pretty good for a dude. It's pretty good draft stock, and people love long corners and who can get into chest and press tag, and Rick's can do that. So I think he's gonna find a suitor on day two as well. All right, Devin, we're gonna transition to the last part here. Who do we think will be the biggest winner of the weekend?
I'm gonna go with Lucas Van Ness. We're already starting to get buzz around his name. I know Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson have kind of dominated the top five talks. But I think Lucas Van Ness, we know he's a powerful dude, but I think if he comes out and runs insanely or tests insanely with his jumps and runs and whatnot, I think he can be a guy that. Are we talking about maybe top 10, top 15 instead of more so in the 20s? So I think he has a lot to gain from the combine. I think he's a potential big winner, just because his measurables are off the chart at 6'5", 275, and he's probably gonna have some really nice arm length too. And you know, he's a guy that was not even a starter at Iowa, but a lot of people already have him going in the top 20. So how high can he go is my question. And we know the edge class is already deep, but could he be value over someone like a Miles Murphy? Maybe. We'll see after the combine, but I certainly think he's going to test really well.
Van Ness is a good one. Yeah, he's going to be super explosive, very explosive. They don't call him Hercules for nothing. I'm going to go with an edge as well. And again, I mean, I talked about him ad nauseum in our last episode, but I think BJ Ojulari is going to come away a huge winner. Like, one, he's going to, like, when I think about the athletic drills compared to Ojulari's skill set, I don't think there's a drill that he's going to be bad at. Like, he's obviously really flexible, really bendy. So, like, okay, the agilities he should be really good at. He's got a hot first step. He should run well and he should jump well. Like I don't know how this guy, like I don't know if there's a weakness on the track. I mean, probably bench press. I don't think he'll bench. He's got long arms and he's kind of a slender guy. But so maybe bench, but I don't think that's really translatable. Not super indicative of NFL success. Really, never has been. But on top of that, like again, interviews, man. Like again, this guy wore 18 for LSU, which is given to the guy like with the best character on and off the field. Like that's their defensive captain, the guy who wears 7 and 18 are their two big numbers. Like he's well respected at LSU. And again, I've done a lot of research. He's such a high character guy off the field. And I've heard that from multiple people as well. So like I don't imagine he's gonna go into interviews and bomb them. Like so like I really think BJ Ojulari is going to go first round by the time we're all said and done. And if not, like, okay, like somebody's going to get a really good bargain because this guy's tremendous. Character-wise, athletically, traits-wise, like this guy had go-to moves. He's 20 years. He's also 20. He's turning 21 like draft week. Like
That's nasty.
I don't see how this guy gets out of the first round. I just don't.
Honestly, and if he's starting to, I could see a team coming back into the first round and trading up for him in the late 20s if he happens to last that long. So we'll see. A couple other guys I want to bring up that I don't think are going to be the biggest winners, but we didn't talk a lot about the running back class, but Devon Achane from Texas A&M. Probably is going to run off the charts.
Track star.
Yeah. So I can expect a lot of people to react to that accordingly. So I think he's going to be a guy that probably runs really well. Sean Tucker as well. A guy that possibly might run really, really, really well. But I just wanted to bring up a few running back names because I know it's a position we really didn't talk a ton about during this episode. So just wanted to throw a few names in there, and then a tight end that a little bit off the radar, but I think will test really well athletically is Zach Kuntz from Old Dominion, former Penn State tight end too. So I think he It's going to be a player that, you know, people don't haven't watched a lot of already. Luckily, I watched this film last year and a couple games this year. Probably it's certainly a day three pick in my opinion. Probably like fifth, sixth round. I think he's more of a developmental guy, but I think if he tests well athletically, maybe he goes somewhere in the fourth round.
All good names. All good names. Again, Devin and I will be there next week. I'm really looking forward to it. We even talked about Devin. We haven't finalized anything or anything like that, but we've even talked about doing a live pod from Indy next week. So that might be on the radar. But things are getting real NFL draft wise, and next week's going to be a blast. But I think that's it for now, Devin. You got anything else to add?
Nah, man, I'm just excited to really take this in person. Obviously, watching it on TV for so many years growing up, and be able to be in the flesh and talk to a lot of these guys. It'll be really cool to get access to a lot of these players you wouldn't really have access to. You know, you think about like some of the top quarterbacks, probably going to be a media scrum around them all week long, but some of these other dudes, like, you might get a chance to ask some BJ Ojulari a couple questions. I'm sure you'll be very excited to do so.
Oh, absolutely, I will be. Yeah, so I'm going to be making my rounds for sure. Again, I'm going with Browns Wire, so I got to make sure I hit Kevin Stefanski on Tuesdays and things like that, but I will be around. So it's going to be a really fun opportunity. Again, we are affiliates of Homage. So when you see that link attached to Daft on Draft, it's on my Substack. It's in the link of or in the description of every single pod episode. Click that link, buy some shit, give us some money. We can play around with it, do some giveaways in the future. And again, if you have a question, we do have a mailbag option. If you have a question that you want Devin and I to answer on the podcast, drop that in a review on Apple Podcasts. So rate, review, drop your question in that review, and we will get to it. Again, we are 11. This is our 12th episode. So Devin, we are over 10 onto our second hand or third hand, I guess, of episodes. So, I'm very excited about the direction of this podcast, and it's just the beginning. But until next time, I'm Corey for Devin. This is the Daft on Draft podcast.